The subject I want to share today from the scriptures is one that so many people are defeated in. This is one area where someone will come to Christ and they'll start to grow and then they just seem to die spiritually. This is a subject that if you are winning in this area, it'll affect every area of your life positively in your walk with Christ. But if you're hurting in this area, it will affect every single area of your spiritual life negatively. It is probably an area where more people are defeated than any other area in their spiritual life. And what I want to speak on is the area of prayer. Of prayer. And I remember when I first came to Christ, I knew I had to pray. I knew I was supposed to do that and as a way of growing in Christ. But I go to a prayer meeting. And there were always two things that were going through my mind at a prayer meeting. Now, maybe some of you identify with it, and maybe you won't. But the first thing going through my mind was, in a prayer meeting, was five more people, and it's my turn. Four more, and it's my turn. Three more, and it's my turn. And so I never enjoyed it because I'm almost at a panic stage as a new believer. And then the second thing going through my mind was, well, how should I pray? Well, if I pray this way, so like somebody else did, everybody says, amen, praise God. And I was always thinking how to pray to get a response from people instead of really being honest to God. And so the title of what I want to share today is called Prayer, Honest to God. And the passage that Paul spoke to me with is Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. And the Word of God says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me repeat that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, what I want to do is share six simple points, and I won't have a lot of explanation with it. And as I go through these 6 points from this passage, you'll say, where's he going? I don't get it. How does this even relate? Then at the end, I'm going to share several illustrations. And as I go through these illustrations, the lights will come on. You say, now I see what he means. So I very seldom do this, but I'm going to ask you to be patient with me during the first part, and I'll try to make up for it during the second part. Okay, honest to God. First is the extent of our honesty. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Now, the way most believers, Christians, live this verse is be anxious for a few things, and in the important things, let your requests be made known unto God. I used to think that if I prayed about anything that was just a little small item, I was being selfish. That God was so busy running the universe, he only had time for the major things that affected the Great Commission or seeing people come to Christ or the finances of the church. But here it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, every little tiny area. And so first, in being honest to God, it has to be in everything. Not just the important things. Not just the earth-shattering things that will explode the church and making Christ known. But every little area of my life in everything. Then, second, the attitude of our honesty to God. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. I believe the way the context of the word prayer is used here, it means of reverence and true devotion. It means to be very reverent and true devotion when we are honest before God. And this is where I get a little concerned when I hear people in kind of a flippant way address God or use nicknames. You know, the man upstairs, the eye in the sky, the big brother, the first cosmonaut. Boy, I'd be hesitant with that. He is Yahweh, God, the creator of the universe. And I believe we approach him with reverence and true devotion. And then third, the nature of our honesty before God. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, what does the word supplication mean? When I was in seminary, Most of the professors taught that it meant this: the humble cry for the fulfillment of a need keenly felt. Now, let me repeat that. The humble cry for the fulfillment of a need that is keenly felt. After I got out of seminary and started to study Scripture, I concluded that's not a true definition of supplication. After I came to know how God works with us, this is how I would define supplication. The humble cry for the fulfillment of a need or a want that is keenly felt. When it says to be anxious for nothing but in everything, it's not just needs, it's also wants. And yet, you know, as a new Christian, I used to feel guilty praying about a want in my life. You know, people say, well, there's so many needs in the world and everything. How can you be so selfish and pray for your wants? But here it says, in everything, not just needs, but wants. And you know, it might not be true in your life, but in my life, what often affects my relationship with God are not my needs. It's those wants. And if I do not have the freedom to bring those wants before God, not just the needs, then I'm not truly being honest and fulfilling what Paul is talking about in Philippians 4:6. So it's not only our needs, but our wants without feeling selfish. Then, the condition of our honesty before God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your with thanksgiving. I think if there's been any area difficult for me to learn in prayer, it's praying with thanksgiving ahead of time. That takes a step of faith. And often I would pray and say with thanksgiving because I knew I was supposed to. And it wasn't an expression of my heart. And one thing I've asked over the years is, God, give me the faith where ahead of time when I pray to trust you so much that with a sincere heart I can say, thank you. Instead of saying thank you with the attitude, well, I did that because I know I'm supposed to, but I'm not quite sure if I really will be thankful. And so the condition here is with thanksgiving. And you know, that's still part of my prayer today. God, allow me to pray ahead of time, thanking you for however you answer it. And then, number five, the content of our honesty before God. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your requests. The word request there in the Greek is kind of, it would be the word petition. And what it means is this: when you take a petition for people to sign, you have to be very specific what you're asking them to sign for. Who's going to be dumb enough to sign a petition? And so you're very specific, and then you sign the petition. What it says here, in being honest with God, we should be very, very specific. Now, I always was hesitant to do that for several reasons. One, if I was really specific, I was afraid that God wouldn't answer my prayers and I'd start to doubt my faith. So if I prayed more generally, you know, pray for the sun to come up in the morning, the moon to come out at night or whatever, then I'd have 365 answered prayer every year and that would build my faith up. But that's not what it says here. It says, in being honest with God, in everything, with thanksgiving, to be very specific. Do a petition, list it out there. Then I was afraid of really being specific in prayer. Because I was afraid the Holy Spirit would whisper in my ear and say, why don't you do something about it? I was always a little hesitant that God would want me to answer my own prayers. And a lot of times I didn't want to. That's why it was easier to pray for the lost, say, in Africa or somewhere else, than to pray for my neighbor. Because if I prayed for my neighbor, it seems like the Holy Spirit was saying, well, why don't you talk to her? Why don't you talk to him? Where if I prayed for somebody in Africa, I didn't have to get involved in my prayers. However, I wasn't really honest. And then, the last part, number six, the results of our honesty to God. When we pray in anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting specific requests be known, what are the results? You know what's amazing thing to me? There's no promised results. I mean, almost everywhere in the Bible, when you pray for something, it says, ask anything in my name and you shall have it. There's a promise to answer prayer. This is one place there's no promise of answered prayer. Now, I thought, that doesn't make sense. If I'm not supposed to be anxious about anything, and I'm supposed to pray about everything with a very reverent, devout attitude of prayer, with thanksgiving, and not only my needs, but my wants, very specifically, then it doesn't make any sense that God does not promise an answered prayer. I couldn't figure it out until I read the next verse. God promises something far better than answered prayer if we are honest in our prayer life. And what he promises is this, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Something far better than answer prayer. In this passage of Philippians 4, 6, where it doesn't promise an answer, it promises a result, the peace of God. Not peace with God. Every true believer in Jesus Christ, and they place their faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, has peace with God. Peace with God means all barriers removed through Christ between you and God. Every true believer has that. But I'm convinced the majority of true believers don't experience the peace of God, which comes through Philippians 4, 6, being honest in our prayer. You say, well, how does all this relate? All right, let me tie these 6 points together and show how it can affect our lives. And truly, what set me free? Philippians 4, 6, when I understood these 6 points and the results, I became free to be able to express my very heart to God and then to experience His peace. In 1 John, in the New Testament, chapter 1, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and our fellowship is with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. I think Philippians 4, 6 is how to walk in the light. You say, what? Let me show you how this applies. I picture it this way when I pray, being honest with God. I think of my arm coming out of the darkness into the light. I think of coming out of things that I've suppressed, I wouldn't face up to, I wouldn't be honest with about or anything, bringing it out into the light of God's love, of His love for me, what Christ did on the cross, the revelation of Scriptures, who God is, everything else. It's getting it out into the light of God's love so He can act upon it. Because I know in my life there's many things that I suppress. I don't want to face up to. I don't want to get out into the light. And I think your word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with reverence and true devotion, let those specific requests be made known to God. And what it's saying is, get it out in to the light. Get it out there where God's love, His judgment, all can look upon it. And then through that, He can produce the peace of God in our lives. We know God has been consulted. And I'll tell you this, there is a phenomenal spiritual impact in your life. I went to live in Argentina. And while I was down there, I played on one of the Argentine national teams, made up mainly of missionaries who had played university basketball here in the States. So we were quite good. And we were playing for the championship. And we were all a little nervous, got there early, warmed up. And we met with our coach. And like every game, we prayed beforehand. We figured that put God on our side. Problem is, this time the other team prayed too, so we prayed longer. Figured, you know, that will work spiritually. And the pastor of the Union Church, the English-speaking church, is the one who prayed. And this is how he prayed. We're all together huddled around, and he said, Lord Jesus, he said, I pray today that we will be a good testimony and no one will be hurt. In Christ's name, amen. And everyone applauded. And we walked out to the jump circle. As I walked out to the jump circle, I thought, what a stupid prayer. What a dumb, idiotic prayer. How dishonest. You say, what do you mean? Well, you see, I knew the pastor who prayed. He was competitive. I know that he wanted Jesus to be glorified. I know he didn't want anyone to get hurt on our team. But equal to that, he wanted to win. He wanted to crush him. So on the way out, I said, Pastor, well, he was six something. I said, Pastor, that was really a dishonest prayer. He said, what? I said, yes. I said, that was really an idiotic prayer. He said, why? I said, well, Pastor, what do you want to do more than almost anything else out here? I mean, he immediately said, I want to whomp him. Now, you can't translate that word. It means I want to win so big they get embarrassed. I want to stomp them into the boards. Then I said, Pastor, why didn't you pray to whomp them? He says, what do you mean? I said, I'll explain it to you later. Well, we won the game. Later in the locker room, he said, what did you mean by that comment? That was the most dishonest prayer. I said, Pastor, read Philippians 4:6, and I read it. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your specific requests be made known unto God. I said, what do you want to do equal to God being honored tonight? You wanted to win, didn't you? He said, well, yeah. I said, why didn't you pray to win? I said, why didn't you get it out in the light? Why didn't you say, God, we want to whomp them. We want to crush them. We want to win tonight. I said, get it out into the light of God's love, what Christ did on the cross for us, why he has called us to Argentina. And I said, Pastor, I'll tell you this, getting it out into the light would accomplish more of what you prayed for than the way you prayed. I said, getting out into the light of God's love, what he called for us, all of a sudden winning wouldn't be as important as he being honored and no one being hurt. About 12 years later, I'm speaking at Wake Forest University, and this pastor comes up to me very sober, and he says, you know, about 10, 12 years ago, you taught me one of the greatest lessons, and he started doing this with his arm. Get it out into the light. You see what happened? He finally was honest in his walk with Christ when it came to basketball. I've been on staff of Campus Crusade for Christ for almost 35 years now, and one summer I was in charge of all the staff working at the headquarters for a big international staff training. And one of the fellows, we'd only been there maybe 2 weeks, and I had rumors that he was leaving. He was from Seattle, Washington, and he was going to leave the next day. And he was telling everyone but me. And I was the man. If anyone should have been told, it was me. So I figured, you know, there must be something wrong there. So about 10:30 in the morning, I said, George, let's have lunch together. You free? He said, yes. So we got in a car and we drove downtown. And I said, George, I understand you're leaving tomorrow. I said, why? He says, well, my dad called. And he's got me a job with this construction company. And I can make this much an hour. And it was a lot of money. I said, what is it? He said, well, I can not only make enough money to go back to school, but he said, I've always dreamed of having a Mustang. That's a special type of sports car. And he said, since I've been a little kid, I dreamed of having a sports car. And he started to tell me what color car, what size engine, Michelin tires, what types of rims, everything. I mean, the time he got through, I wanted one. And he was all excited. And I said, well, George, have you prayed about it? And you know, when you say that to people, it's so funny. You say, well, what do you mean? I said, you've really been honest to God and gotten out in the light. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. So I said, here, I was driving. I said, read Philippians 4:6. And he read it, and I said, look, why don't you do this? Why don't you really be honest with God? Get that car out in the light. Just say, God, I can't live without that Mustang. I just need that Mustang so much. I want this size engine, this type of 5-speed transmission, and I want this color and these type of tires. Just get it out in the light. God, I've got to have those kind of rims and all. And just get it out in the light of God's love, what Christ did for you on the cross, why he brought you down here for the summer, what he wants to do in your life. He said, I should pray that way. I said, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, which in the Greek means in Mustangs, sports cars, get it out in the light. I said, will you do that? He said, okay. Well, the next day he was still there, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So I took him out for lunch again. This time I came out a little, I call righteous indignation, in other words, arrogant. And I just said, hey, George, I thought you were going to leave. Why didn't you go home? He says, well, I did what you said. I played dumb, and I said, you did what? And he starts to wave his arms in between the seats. He says, I got it out into the light. And he said, the more I told God, I can't live without that Mustang. I must have that size engine. He said, all of a sudden, it was unbelievable. He said, all of a sudden, my mind wasn't thinking about the car. I was thinking about what Christ had done in my life, what did he want to do at the university through a group of us in winning the campus to Christ. He said, all of a sudden, I wanted to stay here and learn all that God wanted to teach me. You see, he never really saw God's will for his life until he was honest, and he got it out of the darkness into the light. I was at the University of Connecticut in the northeast of the United States. And while I was there, a head of a Christian organization came and asked if I would speak to one of their students who had been very active and kind of gone by the wayside. And I said, sure. So I got together with this fellow, and he was the number two scorer in soccer, what others refer to as football, and America referred to as soccer. And he was a number one scorer, and the team was number two in the nation. And so we sat down and started to talk, and he said, he went on and on how he used to really be on fire for Christ and not anymore and everything else. And I said, why? He says, well, Josh, all I think about, all I dream about, I wake up in the morning, all that captivates me is to be the number one soccer player in the world or in the United States. I want to score more goals than anyone else in the United States. I want to do more of this than anyone else in the United States. He says, I want to be recognized. I want to see my picture in the newspapers. I want to be recognized when I walk into a restaurant. And I tried to be excited with him, so I just said, well, Bobby, have you prayed about it? He said, what do you mean? I said, have you been honest to God about it? He said, what? I said, get it out into the light. And I explained Philippians 4:6. Just tell God how you can't live without being the best soccer player in America. You can't live without scoring more goals than anyone else. You want to be recognized in the restaurants and see your picture in the newspaper. He said, okay, I will. About 3 months later, I get this 11-page letter from him. And he says this. He said, Josh, I did what you told me. He said, I got out there and said, God, I can't live without being the best soccer player in America. I want to score more goals than anyone else. I want to be recognized in the restaurant, see my picture in the newspaper. But he said, you know, when I was really honest with God, I no longer wanted that. He said, now I want to be the best soccer player in the world. He said, I want to score more goals than anyone in the world. He said, I don't want to be recognized in restaurants. I want to eat at the White House. He said, I don't want to see my picture in the newspaper. I want to see it on television. And I'm reading this letter and saying, what happened? Oh, I learned something. And this is what happened. He said, Josh, as I was really honest with God and got it out in the light, instead of taking away the desire, he intensified it. But listen to this. He changed my motivation. He said, no longer did I want to be the best soccer player to glorify myself in the United States. I want to be the best soccer player in the world to glorify the Lord Jesus. No longer did I want to score more goals than anyone else in America to glorify myself. I wanted to score more goals than anyone in the world to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I found? When we apply Philippians 4:6 and we are really honest, often instead of taking away the desire, God will intensify it, but he changes our motivation. And I believe one of the fastest ways to know God's will is to get it out into the light. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God should guard your hearts and minds. So I want to leave you with this. Every time you think of this talk, think of your arm coming out of the darkness into the light. Just be honest and let God deal with your heart.